Perfectus Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
I'm hoping I've got this in the right order. It's we've got Nadine. Afternoon, Nadine.
Good afternoon.
And we've also got Sharon, who's been on before.
I have. Good afternoon again.
Nice to have you here again. And you had such a fine time last time you came back.
Yes, yes. I asked specially come back.
Element of Sarky. So you are from the Community Early Help Team, which comes under the umbrella of Barnardo's?
Yep, the Isle of Wight Family Centres.
Just tell us what you do.
So Sharon and I are Community Early Help workers with the Isle of Wight Family Centres, and we support families with children from pregnancy right through to 19 years of age for any need that they want, really.
Okay, which is fantastic, because we all take it for granted that, well, why do you need that help? Well, lots of people do. So it's good that you're there. And what are we talking about today? What's the main emphasis today?
The main kind of topic of today is the how families can support their children at home with their home learning, and the communication aspect, how we can support young early years communication.
Okay, and that is really vital at the moment. And vital, because I would imagine everything was going swimmingly well and then COVID happened. So how has that affected everything?
Yeah, it has had a big knock-on effect for our families. We work closely with the speech and language therapy team, and they have had an increase in referrals to their service. And within our groups, when we have children coming in, we have seen lower concentration levels. You know, their listening, their attention, their you know, the required skills they need for their language journey was less. So we did adapt our language builders group to support that and to enable children and their parents to come in to feel more confident to interact. And Sharon is going to talk more about language builders in a moment, so I'll stop there.
Okay. So is that a cue for the next question? So how, I've often wondered this, how can a parent check that their child's language is developing properly?
So we have a tool that we've been using since last year, but just over a year now, called the Early Language Identification Measure, or the ELIM for short, because it's a bit of a mouthful if you say that every time. So the ELIM is a very simple Microsoft form that we have that parents can access from our website. We're asking all families on the island, whether they've got concerns over their language, their children's language or not, any families with children between 2 and 3, to complete this early language identification measure. Like I say, it's a very simple Microsoft form. It's a little bit of detail about who they are, names, you know, and children's details. And then it is a list of 50 words. And what the parents need to do is they just indicate which of those words their children can say. So that's all it is. It's almost like a little tick chart. And then there's a couple of questions just to them to add if they've got any concerns about language or any concerns about behaviours. They then submit that and it comes to us. And we have a little look at that. And depending on where their score comes in, depends on how we kind of respond to that. So afterwards, what we do is like we have a little look at it. And it might be if the children are doing super fantastically and their score is really high, we'll send them an email, you know, saying thank you ever so much. And we send them what is called our Padlet, our early language Padlet, which is an online notice board. So if you picture what a notice board looks like, the ones that you see in your supermarkets and things like that, it's a digital one, but it's got lots of links to loads of different information about early language, lots of tips and advice from speech and language, links to different websites that they can go on. So it's just a little bit of a resource for parents to continue using to help. If the score comes in a little bit lower, what we do again, we email the family just to say thank you for completing it, and then we follow up with a phone call. And then we can talk to them about the language groups that we run from Barnardo. So we have two that we look at offering. And we have one that's called the Toddler Talk. And that is an online one-off workshop. So it's just a two-hour workshop that the families come on to. It's hosted by two facilitators. And we just talk about early language. Again, we look at things like how toddlers communicate and how to develop their listening and attention skills, which is really important, because without those listening and attention skills, the language is slower to evolve. We look at encouraging talk through chat, play and reading. And we do look a little bit about, you know, supporting that pronunciation through practical activities. So that's a really nice one for parents to come on to. Like I say, it's just that hour one. They can, it's online, so they can do it from the comfort at home when they've got their children there, etc. And it's a bit of a starter one. We also run what we call our Language Builders Group, which is a four-week program that the parent or carer can attend with their child. So that's when we're actually working with the parent and the child together. It's really great. We've changed the concept a little bit now. So we only have two parents and two children, or two carers and two children, and two facilitators. So you're almost on a one-to-one basis for these sessions, which is really good. Sessions are only half an hour long, because we do appreciate that two-year-olds, their concentration span is short. So it's they're half an hour long. Like I say, they go over 4 weeks. But each week we look at different activities and different games that promote that early language. So we're looking at games that might promote, again, that listening, that understanding. Just talking to the parents as well about how they can make changes within their language at home to help. And it's just giving them, again, lots of guidance, lots of supports, but lots of fun activities. You know, we carry out the activities with the children, and they love it. They love coming in. You know, they come back each week, lots of smiles, ready to play the next game. And then on the fourth week, all the families that have attended over the 4 weeks, because it's broken in to sections through the morning, we all come together and have kind of like a play and stay and play session that's based around the Book Start initiative. So we look at lots of different books, we look at story sacks, and we gain, it's just a really nice time to talk to the mums, see how they're getting on with all the activities, and the children to all come together and have a bit more of a free play. So the Language Builders is one that's really good for those parents that just really want that little help to get their children kind of up and running with their language.
Brilliant. I've got a random question which kind of leads us on to the next question. How or when does a child get referred to speech and language therapy? So my random question would be, just say for instance, if you're listening to this and you're a parent and you think that little Johnny is not, you know, up to standard with the words that he should have had already, or in his vocabulary and so on, but you're fearful of, I think he's all right, but I don't want to waste anybody's time because there's probably people out there that need it more, possibly. What advice would you give those people?
So you've got, the families have their health visitor from birth right through until they start school. So that would be your first port of call. You would speak to health visitor. They do a two-year check anyway, and they discuss language. So that would be a first indicator for a family that maybe they're, you know, just not quite where they are needed to be yet. And the family hubs and the family centres are somewhere you can walk into Monday to Friday, 9 to 4:30, and just come and just ask a question. So actually, if you don't think, oh, maybe I don't need a course and I don't want to take up anyone's time, just come in, pop in, the reception team are there. We're often around as well, and if not, we're on the phone, so they can just ask that question initially if they're worried about taking up the time.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you for that. The reason why I asked the question is because I've got a grandson that is, we thought he was struggling with words. And he was only two, he was going to some kind of system where they looked after him for a period of time and so on. And we didn't realise that he was actually signing. So he was doing a lot more signing than talking, and that was the reason why he wasn't, you know, using the words that, or as many words as he should have been. So, yeah. You know, you get into that situation and you think, well, he's okay, he's fine, but we had to ask the question.
Yes.
So did you answer the other one?
I was going to say, parents can also, you know, if they have got them concerns, if their children are going to any of the early year settings, you know, they are excellent at supporting families as well, and if they feel that a speech referral is needed, or a lot of the time what they will do is they will come in and go on to the Language Builders Group, and then what will happen, once they finish the Language Builders Group with us, 3 months, 2 months after, we will phone them up and just see how they're going, and we'll redo the language identification measure. Then if we find, you know, if the parents aren't happy and they're feeling that perhaps, you know, they're still not making the progress, then we can look at putting that referral in. So with the Language Builders, we do make sure it's not just a you come and then you disappear and go. You know, there's that follow-up to make sure that, you know, what's being put in place is helping, or do you need that extra bit of support after us?
And that's why Sharon's come back, because she's taken half my next section, so that's okay.
Well, I've lost where we are now.
That's okay. Thanks, so Sharon. It is about speech and language therapy. So we are part of the pathway, you know, as part of Barnardo's. So families can start with us. If they're at a setting, so if they're in a preschool, a nursery, or with a childminder, they will help and can refer the families into us, and then they can come on to do the toddler talk or the language builders that Sharon's already mentioned. And then, as I say, we can do a referral into speech therapy if we felt there was a need. So, yeah.
Okay. Now I'm lost.
Would you like to know how parents can help their child's communication, Ian?
Yes, I would, yeah.
Okay, so from pregnancy...
It's all your fault, Sharon. You've been answering our questions. I'm lost.
She's gone off script. It's okay. It's what we do.
This is why I never work with a script.
No, winging it. It's our way, isn't it? It's the Bernardo's way. It's fine. So from pregnancy, really, we can start off. So families can come into our Welcome to the World programme when they are expecting a baby, and we explore the importance of communication then by, you know, how important it is to bond and communicate with your baby while they're in the womb, with, you know, mum, partner, dad, whoever's their close kind of carer and supporter. Then when baby's here, they can attend our Five to Thrive course, which is a lovely one to come into the family centres, meet families with children of a similar age, and again, looking at brain development, bonding with your baby, and how important play is. It doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. How do I play with my child? What do I do? What does that look like? So we just explore that with them, you know, low cost ideas that they can do at home as well. And again, that links in with their communication, so how to build on their young baby's communication. Then from there, that we've got speech therapy team have shared some advice. So of what families can be doing at home as well with their young children. So when they're playing or sharing books together, is try not to ask too many questions. So we quite often see, what's that? What's that? Tell me what this is. And that's putting our child on the spot. They're a bit feeling quite tested. And then they kind of might shut down and not want to play anymore, not want to say those words. So it's more important if we comment and say, this is the car, this is a red car, you know, and or if they are playing with something of interest already, follow their lead and go into that and say, oh, you've got that tall tower, you know, and just really short language. So, yeah, and also if we limit our language right down. So let's use Sharon as an example. Sharon, can you go in the hallway and go and get your shoes for me, please? It's quite long for a young child. Whereas you go, Sharon, shoes. She'll go, oh, I know where my shoes are. I'll go and get them. So our young children need very short sentences. Sharon doesn't need them quite so often. That's okay.
Sharon, and Sharon almost got up there and went to get
her shoes. I nearly did.
For me. but being at your child's level is really important as well. So being face-to-face, having that face-to-face communication, being down rather than talking over them as well is really important. And lots of games with sounds, you know, animal noises and transport noises, you're in the car, those kind of things are really important to help build on their child's communication.
Now, we were talking about digital and phones and things like that. I'm guessing that it plays a part, but what sort of part should it play?
It does have a part, it does have its place, but it does need to be balanced with that real life opportunity and face-to-face experiences with their families, their friends, their close people. So it comes in to young children, it's important to remember that it can't replace face-to-face interaction with a caregiver. So you can watch things on the screen, but it's not as tangible as a real person. You know, you can't really read their cues, you can't stop, you can't interact and kind of interrupt those moments. So if they're having face-to-face, it's much more important. And with our baby's brains, we're going back to our brain development, then babies have a built-in seeking system, which is activated by people around them. So if the babies are spoken to one-to-one and people show them interesting things, it develops their seeking system. That seeking system will help them explore, want to engage, want to know more and learn more. Excuse me. So the seeking system is key to our motivation and desire to explore and understand from an early age, and it's learnt through human interaction. So a lot of this is given to us today by our speech and language therapy team, giving us some support on how to do that. And that human interaction is just much more important. It's much easier to do, to learn, to build upon. But also children have a play system in their brain as well, and we talk about play being a really great stepping stone for communication, because children are having fun, they're relaxed, they're open to what you're telling them and what you're talking about. So again, we're born with that instinct to play, but it does need activating, and this is activated by people, you know, playing peekaboo, tickling, which is a very interactive, which you can't get from screens. So screens doesn't have its place, it's just how often we use it and making sure that it's not for prolonged periods of time, but it's balanced with that interaction, physical interaction, face to face.
Would it be fair to say then, just you know, limit the amount of stuff that you know, with regards to mobile phones and young person, don't just give them a phone just to shut them up. You know, every now and again, yes, it works, I guess, but the more you do that, the probably the more damage you're doing.
I think for a prolonged period, so it has its place. And speaking as a parent myself as well, there are times where you go, I just need 5 minutes, and this is going to be something that helps for 5 minutes. So we don't want to say that's a bad thing to do that, but if it's constant, if it's going on, you know, for prolonged periods of time, that's kind of all they want to do and all they have an interest in, then yes, it could. But
okay, yeah. So just be careful. You know, you have to limit it and keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, this isn't here to sort of say, hey, look, you're a bad parent, you're doing it all wrong.
No.
It's a case of you're a good parent, and you know, but we've all got to try a little bit more just to sort of, you know, improve things, haven't we? And make sure that we keep an eye on what we're doing. And more important thing, the young person is not struggling or suffering because of what we are doing, but being aware of it. It's
absolutely
common sense, isn't it? I've noticed that Sharon hasn't gone into the corridor and got her shoes. Have you noticed that? Just so, for instance, there'll be so many people out there that I would imagine, and I find it amazing that there are people that are going to be, because a lot of it we just think is common sense. But when you're in a situation where you're pressure, you haven't had much sleep because the kids keep you awake and so on, your mind then sometimes it will turn to mush. Yeah. So sometimes you just need to reach out. People need to reach out and say, look, this is available, this help is available, this advice is available. It's not there to make you feel bad, it's there to assist. So how do we reach out?
So, we've got various forms that they can come into. But before we go on to that, I don't know if I can just share about the additional courses that we've got past our communication that in turn helps with that.
Have I missed that on the list?
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, I got lost with Sharon. Sharon, you know.
She's not going to come back now, Ian.
I'm not invited back now, am I?
Your plan worked. There we go. So just to add on, so we are talking about communication today, but also that they can come and families can come to lots of the courses that we offer. And I know we had a previous podcast, there is lots more information in there, but we just want to touch on the parenting puzzle that we offer, which is for our 3 to 5 year olds or parents and carers of 3 to 5 year olds. And it is a tried and tested program. Families across the country have done it and they've evaluated and said that this has worked, this has helped us. So it's something that we provide within the family hubs and online, and it just helps our families understand their children a little bit more, understand that there's something going on for them. This behaviour is a communication. There's a feeling, there's a need that is driving that to go, I'm throwing this across the room at you, or I'm shouting or I'm screaming because, you know, I'm tired or I'm hungry or I'm a bit frustrated about something. So that, of course, just helps with that and giving families tools to understand how to manage those behaviours, because we can understand that it's communication, but then what do we do with it? So that is a lovely course to help with that, which then follows on with our Getting Ready for School workshop, which anyone can come on to as well. There's no criteria, but it is just helping the family be ready for getting ready for school emotionally and practically.
Okay, you mentioned other courses that were half an hour. How long are these?
So the parenting puzzle is 2 hours over 4 weeks, and it's followed on by a Getting Ready for School workshop, which is a one-off session of
two hours
again.
So it's not days and days and days, is it? It's over and done with quite quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is a commitment. It's something you've got to take yourself out of your day for. So if you are working, it's finding that time. But it's across mornings, there's the evening offer. There's lots of different kind of ways that we can get that through, face-to-face and online.
Okay, so how do we get in touch? How do we book? How do we... there's one question I haven't asked, and that is, how much does it all cost?
Well, I think as we talked about when I was on last time, we are really privileged in the fact that all of the nurture programmes, all of the workshops, the courses that we offer are free. There isn't any charge to our parents. The only thing that we really ask of them is to do the evaluation at the end, because the evaluation then allows us to provide that feedback to the commissioners so that we can continue to deliver them. So that's the only thing we ask of, you know, and actually not just for them to give us great feedback, but just to give us any feedback. You know, they might come back and say, well, actually, you know, I really like this bit, but that bit I wasn't so sure about. And we can work and we can tweak, so we can continually make sure that our programs are meeting the parents' needs. So that feedback is really vital, you know, just for us to make sure that we're continuing to give a good service, but to be able to keep, you know, delivering it for free. So, you know, there is no cost to them. It's just their time. That's all we ask, really.
Brilliant. Okay, so how do we book up then?
Okay, so you can walk into any of the family hubs, as I said, from we've got Sandown, which is the Fairway and Lake, and we've got Newport, which is Furlongs on Pan. Then we've got Ryde, which is George Street, which is by the Co-op.
Okay.
You can walk into any of those at any time, Monday to Friday, 9 to 4.30. You can phone. So Newport is 01983 529208. Ryde is 01983 617 617, and Sandown is again 01983 408 718. If you're into technology and not actually speaking to us initially, you want to just type away, then you can go onto our website, which is www.isleofwightfamilycentres.org.uk. And again, going back to our screen time and our social media, we have Facebook and Instagram. So if you just search Isle of Wight Family Centres, you'll find us.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming in and sharing all that with us. And Sharon's now got her shoes, so you can now leave the building.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you, and nice to see you again, Sharon.
Thank you.
And hopefully we will see you again soon.
Yes.